The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Main event time, guys. We have Lex Luger with his golden mane and green trunks set to take on Ric Flair for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship.
Does Lex Luger have RoboCop in his corner?
Noel, RoboCop is not here.
Oh.
He's gone.
Okay.
He saved Sting. That's what he was there to do, to save Sting.
But what? No.
Well, that fell off.
Yeah, but he doesn't care.
Alan.
Who wants some shrimp? Do you like shrimp?
Interesting note here. This is champion versus champion.
But this is for Flair's gold, isn't it?
Flair's championship, yep.
Yep. Here comes the Nature Boy.
Flair. This is a rematch from the previous Wrestle War. And I think Wrestle War took place in February of 1990. So that match actually ended by a count-out finish. From memory, let me have a look here.
Wow, a count-out on pay-per-view. Oof.
So it says here, the main event of Wrestle War was originally supposed to see Ric Flair defend the NWA World Heavyweight Championship against Sting, but Sting was injured a few weeks earlier during the main event of Clash of the Champions 10, Texas Shootout. Sting was replaced by his longtime friend Lex Luger in the main event. Lex Luger was originally scheduled to defend the United States Championship against Dr. Death Steve Williams. This match was then dropped. And then the actual match itself ended by a countout after 38 minutes.
Oof.
That would suck, though, if you're a fan going, this is a great matchup, nearly 40 minutes, and it's a countout ending.
Crazy. Look at the flair. Look at this. Look at the robe he's wearing.
Yeah.
The black feathers, the white feathers, and the black
robe. Is that
robe.
Woman that's managing him there?
I think it is.
I think it's woman.
Yep. Nancy. Look at that. He's got the full pyro tonight, Ric Flair.
So I'm just looking at that year of WCW, how many events they would have done, because I think it was like an event every second month or so.
Hmm.
I'm just loading it up here.
And a cage. It's a cage match, guys.
It's a pretty cool looking cage, I would say. Look at that. Looks like the cage from No Mercy, though. The old No Mercy 64 game.
Oh, yes. The one that... wow. Look, man, that looks... No, that looks like a... That looks like a Hell in a Cell.
Looks like a Punjabi prison match.
Yes, please. Look at that. That is an interesting-looking cage.
The 1990 year had February 25th was Wrestle War. May 19th was Capital Combat. July 7 was the Great American Bash. October 27 was Halloween Havoc. And December 16th was Starrcade, 1990. So they only had five events that year. And really, after 91, they started trying to put it up even more. They had a show in Japan. That was the Flair against Tatsumi Fujimi.
Yes.
They also had the first Super Brawl. Super Brawl 1 took place in May. And Great American Bash. That was the one there. So Great American Bash 1991, Scott Steiner versus Arn Anderson and Paulie Dangerously was the main event.
Holy crap, that sounds cool.
Great American Bash 1991 on July. But again, look what the co-main event was. Luger and Flair again.
Yep.
Won the championship, so.
Well, this was like their story arc because it's pretty much that Luger was one of the horsemen and then they kicked him out.
Yeah, correct.
And so if you look at that sort of maybe evolution time where Randy Orton became World Heavyweight Champion by beating Chris Benoit
mm-hmm.
and then Triple H going, well, no, I don't think so. I should be the champion. Give me back the gold. So this was pretty much kicking him out of the group. And this is pretty much just rehashing what we're seeing here from the evolution time.
Well, this is where you see Lex Luger and Flair get pissed off at the camera dude here because the camera dude's actually standing in the ring. Now, they both are telling him to get out, and also a woman's trying to get out. But the referee wants to check woman. But watch the camera guy at this point. He can't get out of the ring because he's trying to film. And Luger's pissed off because he wants to start the matchup. And just when you see Luger's face, when the camera, he's like, what are you doing? Get out. Like, we're trying
to do this. I don't know.
So Flair's like, you don't need to check her. She's fine. She's got nothing. So Luger just wants to get started. So she's actually going to be locked in there, though, because the door's closed. Like, there's no door. It's just the cage has to go up.
Oh, dear.
So the camera guy, see, he's still there, look. See?
What's your problem? What's he doing here?
And watch Luger. I think Luger looks here too, like, dude, you got to get out. But he's still walking over.
Because
he's probably being told, no, I have to do this spot with her. I can't go yet.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So they're running out of time here, aren't they? Because this has got another, like, 20 minutes. Oh, dear. Look at that hair. She's got a lot of Aquanet in that hair. That's some big hair.
She would have been with Sullivan at this time, too.
Yep, Nancy Sullivan right there. What have you got in there? What's in there? Let me feel. Oh, silky. So nice.
Like a lady.
Yeah. life.
Would you like a pie?
No,
that's just... I'm going to make you a shirt now. Would you like a pie? Oh, man.
Oh, they what found
was
something.
The what was the store again?
I'm a big girl now.
Okay.
Rings
look,
the bell.
Camera guy's still there. Look at Luger. I think, get out.
Get out.
See?
Cameraman, you need to get out.
Look at Luger. See, Luger doesn't want to look at the camera. Look at the camera. I'll just go now. Look at Luger. See? Get.
Far out, man.
I'm getting tired already. We've got to start.
I had to walk down from the ring. I've got a lot of baby oil on. I'm starting to burn because of the.
Wow. That was a big one.
And no cell. It just goes, come here.
And to think our last episode, we actually had Flair and Luger teaming up to take on Buff Bagwell and. Was it Douglas on our Thunder show, cutting some promos there on the road to Slamboree 2000?
Douglas, Bagwell, and Russo all having I felt like a 20-minute segment, and at the end of it, Miss Elizabeth gets kidnapped.
Yep.
Vince Russo is carrying her down the entrance ramp.
Into the car park?
Into the car, and it's like, get her out of here! Like...
I actually watched the Nitro after that, and Nitro kicks off with the car pulling up and get out of the car, like pulling her out of the car. And I'm like, oh my God, what is, okay. Yep.
You told me about that, and it ended with like a bloodbath to Hogan. Wasn't that true?
Yeah, that was just crazy. It was Hulk Hogan versus Mike Awesome was the main event of that Nitro. Jesus. An interference by Billy Kidman with a chair shot. Mike Awesome pins Hogan.
Yeah.
And then there's all this interference from the new blood, and then there's the bloodbath that falls onto Hogan, which people have then start slipping over.
Yep.
And then a fan gets in the ring, gets decked. It's like, this is the best ending of wrestling ever.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
Yes.
Yeah, the fan gets in the ring, goes to fight Hogan, and then gets tackled down. It was weird.
Does he go for Hogan? I thought it was somebody else.
I'm trying to think. It might have been Kidman or something. But he just jumps to the guardrail, gets in there and goes, has his hands up ready to go, and then gets tackled.
Good times.
Oh, man. So to think, too, Flair actually would have left, WCW within the next 12 months. Because the actual Great American Bash in July of 1991 was meant to feature these two, but Flair quit that day, I think.
Yes.
And they actually had Barry Windham took on Luger for the vacant title, and that's when Flair took the belt with him.
Yep, and went over to WWF, and they kept blanking it out every time he came out to work with Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig.
And he was known as what? The Real World's Champion.
The Real World's Champion, correct. Yeah. Look at this.
And then what, he won the 1992 Royal Rumble, and then what, within the next year that was back in WCW again.
Yes. Yeah. They didn't know how to use him.
No.
This cameraman, seriously, move.
You just waited for them to get knocked off, though, like to accidentally fall down.
You know what it reminds me of? The Shawn Michaels and Undertaker Hell in a Cell match.
Yep.
And the cameraman getting hurt, legit, because Shawn Michaels hated cameramen.
Yep.
And they had to open it up, and that's how they got outside, and they got beat up, and then later on we see Kane and blah, blah, blah. It's all history.
Or was it In Your House Bad Blood? And there's the thing. You see that announcement about In Your House, El? NXT TakeOver In Your House.
Now, I didn't think that was real.
Yeah.
I thought it was like someone had made something, you know, like a bit of a fan art thing. And nope, very real.
Yep, it was legit. I think it's coming in July, I think, or August. NXT TakeOver In Your House.
Correct.
No matches announced yet. But that looks interesting. I love the old set, though, the old In Your House set. We actually have covered In Your House one that I did by myself like 2 or 3 years ago, where I watched the very first In Your House, which was Diesel and Sid Vicious for the World Wrestling Federation Championship in a lumberjack match.
That's correct.
That cage actually curves at the top. Look at it.
Yeah, it's like a Thunderdome style from...
They reckon between 30 and 40 feet high.
Yeah, that's wrestling. Yeah, that's wrestling.
15 feet high is a standard cage. This is 30 to 40.
But that's wrestling, Tom. Like, how big is that that ladder? Oh, it's 40.
Look at this guy. 20.
Yeah, there's some rando.
I'm the guy with the cabling. Sorry, I'll duck down.
I'm a cable man. I'm the cable guy.
He is the cable guy.
Coffee chirker. I'm the coffee chirker, man. Yeah, let him in the coffee chirker.
So, guys, if you are syncing up, we are at 2:33:11, yes. 2:33:12, with a big chop there by Ric Flair. So we're at the tail end. We've only got, less than 15 minutes of this show, guys.
The pain's nearly over, guys.
So what do you think? This is the longest we've ever gone back, eh? May 1990.
It's good. It's nice.
It's also our first time of doing this old school stuff.
It is. It is. It's actually quite enjoyable to go back and watch all this stuff. I'm watching this with the closed caption, so I can't hear any of the commentary by JR.
I've got subtitles and the headphone.
I've got subtitles and the headphone.
That up.
And I wear a diaper on my head. Take a shit in my hand and clap.
What? Okay, let's have a good day today. Come on, I'll help you with your homework.
I'll clap my hands and take a shit.
It was a funny story, too. I think it was from The Dark Side of the Ring, where Jim Cornette's story about David Schultz's trainer would take a shit, put it in his armpits, rub it in there, and then put someone in a headlock.
Love it.
Yeah. He told the funniest story. Jim was talking on his shows recently. They're talking about, fighters who have mean streaks outside the ring. You know, people like, Haku, that bit that dude's nose off. And he was talking about Watts, Bill Watts and the territory. And he said one day, I think it was Bill Watts. Yeah, it might have been him or someone in that family line. He was having a dispute at a bar. He's at a bar. And he walked in and it's like people could tell he's one of those wrestling guys. Look at this guy. And the story goes, Bill comes to the locker room, gathers all the guys up and goes, I've got a story to tell you. And all the wrestlers all sit down. Jim Cornette sits down. Everyone's sitting on a chair. He's standing up and he goes, I'll tell you a story. Last week, went to a bar and I walked in and all these guys just wanted to fight me. You could just tell. They put their drinks down, they all stood up, and he thought, I'm not going to win this one. So he goes, my first thought is, well, I can fight him, but I'm not going to win. So what does he do? He stands there. The closest person next to him just grabs him, pulls his eye out, and then eats the dude's eye, causing all the other guys to go, what the hell? And then just sit down and not want to have a go. And he said, I chewed the eye, swallowed it, and then, yeah, I just yelled at everybody, and then I walked out.
Jesus
Christ. And Cornette goes, we didn't know if he was faking it, but he sounded very realistic. He said, so yeah, ripped a dude's eye out and ate it in front of everybody. What? Oh.
All right. Crazy. I, as a person, have eaten an eyeball before.
Yep.
Not a human eyeball, mind you. I've eaten a sheep's and a cow's eye, eyeball. But to hear that, to eat a real...
a human eye.
A human eye, and then go, ah! I'd rather be down at the clothing store with a pie in one hand, picking up. That's where I'd want to be.
Yep, opening the door for people.
Well, do you want a pie?
It was a bad story. Like, he said he was, and we just sat there all in shock. Our jaws just dropped, and he just had the same motion. Yeah, just nodding his head, and we're all just staring going, you what? But yeah, so, just the thought, like, if I'm going to get into a fight, if everyone's going to hurt me, they're all ready to go, I'll just grab the place to go. I think it was Bill Watts.
Oh, yeah. That
he was the old promoter, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like something.
Well, I said, you know, when he told the story, it was something that we didn't think he would do, but he said he seemed like straight up it was true. Just pulled eyeball out and ate it. So there's Meg, you know, there's Meg biting off noses, Ming, and Haku, and then you've got, yeah, Bill Watts chewing up eyes.
Chimming up eyes, Bill Watsy style, eh?
This is wrestling.
What'd you do on the weekend? Oh, I stayed home, played PlayStation for a bit. What'd you do? I went to the bar and bit a guy's eye off.
Huh?
Hey? Yeah. Oh. Ric Flair is busted here, too. He's got
trying to get out of there, too. That's a massive high cage. Look at that.
Yeah, big time.
It's similar to the one that, was it the one that Macho Man jumped off onto Hogan? Remember one of those old cages in WCW? You leapt off from the top. The one thing that I had a bit of a watch back the other day when Ultimate Warrior tore his tricep in WCW when he jumped out of the cage or something. He was taken on the NWO and he had to kick his way out of the cage, makes a hole, jumps out and just like blows his tricep or something. I'm like, oh, Warrior, you're in there for 40 seconds.
Did he have the leather jacket on? I think he had a leather jacket.
I think he either kicked it off or he was wearing it when he tore it. So, yeah.
That's something for the future.
I have been thinking about Halloween Havoc 98.
I want to see the fire. Hogan nearly kills himself because of Warrior, and then Warrior sells it like he's... like it was like napalm.
What did... Was it the Wrestling Observer Newsletter got what zero? Or was it minus 5 stars or something like that?
Yeah. This match is bullshit, they said.
And it had what Goldberg and DDP in the main event and went over time, the show. So they didn't even get the actual end of DDP versus Goldberg. I think on the network it's about 3.5 hours, where most shows at that time period were about 250. So.
Yeah.
Yes, he burns his eyebrows off and his facial hair. Didn't we see that too with, what is it, Sabu? Remember we covered one of the Nitros or something where, was it the, who was his, was it the Iron Sheik or something like that? It was meant to, they just flew a flame into the ring.
Halloween Havoc,
1995,
the original Sheik lights it up into Mr. JL's face.
Yep.
Cameron doesn't catch it. Sabu gets the win.
But it's like he's like, oh, yeah, I meant to do that thing, eh? And just quickly throws it. The camera's already walking over that way. It doesn't even capture it. You see this spark on the side. Yeah.
Well, and the referee goes, what the hell was that? Yeah.
Here we go. Flair working on the left leg, or right leg, I think. Yes, the right ankle.
Just stomping it.
Look at that crimson mask of Flair now. Look at that.
That yellow mane, that blonde mane of Ric Flair is just saying, tinge of red hardcore style. Very.
And just talking about this era too, we actually, the longest we've ever actually gone back was one match we covered from 1989. Do you remember what match that would have been, Al?
It would have been Terry Funk and Ric Flair, I Quit.
That was from our Oh My God, which was, we did a five-parter series of the 10 most, our own choice, of the 10 most extreme and hardcore matches, guys, from the TBK Vault. It ran from, I think it was March to June of last year. And if you haven't checked it out, please do. It's only about an hour, where Alan and I each chose our two matches per episode, one match each. And, yeah, we actually covered Flair, Terry Funk from the Clash of Champions, I believe it was.
Yes, it was.
I don't know if it was for the championship. I think it was not for the belt. But it's a really good matchup between the two. And that's also the time where Flair was going as a face at that time period.
It was.
Which was an interesting time because people always loved Flair as a heel. But that time period, you had Funk, who was the big heel, going against Flair for the NWA Championship.
The man put a plastic bag over the man's head leading up to it.
Yeah.
A real plastic bag over Ric Flair's head and suffocated him. Good wrestling.
So we don't get that today.
No, you wouldn't. They use one of those recyclable plastic bags. It's good for the earth. Bloody
So losses. in regards to also, guys, next, we've actually got one more show to do this month. Alan and I both have some availability at the end of May. And we're thinking we might actually start the TNA part of this show. I was thinking originally to start it in June, but there might be an event that I found that I think we might do. But there's also some old WCW stuff that I recently found too that happened in May. So well, I don't think we'll announce anything this episode, but I think check out our Twitter, which is Brocast or The Brocast, T-H-E-B-R-O-K-A-S-T. For more information, we're doing stuff every day on there from our, you know, Follow Fridays and throwback episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays from the hashtag TBK Vault. Again, you know, 62 episodes and film companions and wrestling companions and Oh My God and the wonderful world we live in.
And this is the man that does it, guys. I haven't really given him that much compliments this episode, but the man who is we are now I'm speaking to and speaking about is the brains behind this operation. And does all that stuff while I just come in here and make inappropriate dick jokes and pie jokes. Oh, here we go.
Here they come. We're just coming to give advice. We're not going to interrupt. We're just clapping on. Good work there, Flair.
Yeah. We're just here to support.
Has this been covered by Arn yet? In any of his vaults?
It hasn't been covered by Arn, but it has been covered by What Happened When.
Okay, cool.
On all the shows, episode 69.
Oh, wow, okay. I was going to say what number was it.
Yep.
Oh, hey, wait a minute.
Arn's climbing.
Because, again, guys, there's no door.
True. But what would you want to do that for? What would you want to put a door?
But Arn would have to go up and then across and then bend and then come down the cage just to get in there.
Ollie's telling them something there. Hurry up! You've got 6 minutes! You've got to hurry up and win! Come on! Because Ollie was the booker at this time, wasn't he?
I think he was too, yes.
Yes.
It's interesting that they actually let woman stay in the actual cage.
I don't think she had the option.
Damn it. You can climb out if you want. Okay.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah.
Look at big Sid there just on the rampway.
Sid looks like he's
wait a minute. He just runs past Sid.
Yeah, what's...
Hey.
Okay.
Looking like Jaws from James Bond.
He does. Looks like he's about to go to a debutante ball after this.
My limo's here.
With all six of my friends, we all threw money.
Wait a minute. It's our Giante.
He's a big man. Hello. Man. Ric Flair, I kill you.
He's just massive, man. Look at the height of him. His legs stop at what nearly at Sting's neck. Look how tall he is.
He's one big dude. He looks like something out of He-Man.
We're going to become Giant Gonzalez.
Yes.
And take on Taker at WrestleMania 9 and lose by, what was it? Well, did he win or lose? Was it by the Ether that knocked him out or something? Yeah. Let's see. Look, They're saying Ollie Anderson now has got to the guy who's running the cage, and he's making him lift it back up.
Yes.
Here comes Barry Windham.
The Stalker.
Yep.
Here he is.
Now, this is the interesting note here in this match. So he's putting him in the torture rack. Now, look, what's the referee? DQ. The referee has called the bell in our steel cage main event. So that's two straight months Flair and Luger have ended by a countout or a DQ ending.
So very reminiscent of The Fiend and Seth Rollins' Hell in a Cell, but minus the red.
So JR's screaming for them to put the cage down to stop people getting in. It's now a three-on-one beatdown. So Flair loses the match by DQ but retains the NWA Championship.
And we have four more minutes left of wrestling craziness. And the referee's going out. Thanks to Rick Flair.
I can tell looking at Alan, he's inside, he's screaming for RoboCop to come out. With his jetpack to fly in. To jetpack over the top and then lower himself down into the center.
Pulls out his gun. And there's, stay down, creeps.
And then the lights go out. So you don't actually see the shot, the lights go out.
Who's getting shot?
Oh my god! He's going to shoot him. He's going to shoot Flair, is he?
Is that what you said?
No, I say he pulls the gun out and he goes, get down, creep. And before he does the shot, the lights go out to give you the impression that they got, you know.
Shot.
Yeah. I don't know.
No one's getting shot. He comes down with the jetpack and they clear his house.
Oh, and they get out of there, do they?
Okay. Or he grabs each horseman and throws them over the cage and they go flying.
With my Elite Wrestling Federation, RoboCop would have been lowers down, the lights go off, creep, and then three shots, bang, bang, bang. So it would have been Wyndham, Flair, and Arn. So they killed off those characters, and then they come back at another point for some new storylines.
Right.
No one came to the show, so when I did it.
I did a lot of cocaine, and I came up with this idea. I thought it was great. Elegante is just like, do I stand here? What do I do now?
Whose team am I on? I'm on your... Yeah, I'm Sting.
I work with Sting. And there we go. Pound the butt from Barry Windham to Ric Flair. Come on, Flair, we got to go.
This is a great promo. Look at this.
Here's Shivani.
Look at that. Look at that.
He's going off of the fan. Yeah, here we go.
And this is where, you know, Wyndham was the guy that would be like the Orton, you know, the guy that would one day be the champion and would end up, within the next year, would have the title shot against Lex Luger, Great American Bash 91, but would not go on to win the belt that night. Wow. Look at Tony, could you just let me, I just want to...
Can you just stop for a moment? So this is, did you know at this time, this is when Tony Schiavone came back from the WWE?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So
how long was his contract with WWE? Only a few months, wasn't it?
Yeah. About a year and a bit.
He called the Rumble, though, didn't he, or something? The Rumble of that year with Gorilla? And then I think he was just the backstage tape stuff.
Was it with Gorilla?
Was it Gorilla?
I thought it was Jesse.
Might have been Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse the Body. Look at it. This is just craziness. And there's the people on the side, the fans, are just going, but Elegante from He-Man's is like...
I love his suit, though. Look at that.
Yeah, man.
Big X across the front, shoulder pads. I love it. Headband.
Ric Flair, I cue you.
And this was leading to the eventual clash that Sting would actually have with Flair at the Great American Bash in July, which was an awesome poster, that one there. I'll show Alan on the camera with the zoom-up close shot there.
There we go. That's great for
this was the one where... Shut up, Alan. Fuck you, man.
You see, he's good for podcasting because it's a picture.
Yeah. Fuck you, man.
you're a pair of fucking parachutes.
Yeah, and then, yeah, go and share it on Twitter. Tom doesn't share it on the Twitter. He doesn't put it on the Twitter. Yeah.
Is that you? Are you trying to impersonate me, motherfucker?
Not really, Al. I was just doing another voicing.
Yeah. What have I told you about voices?
I don't know. What have you told me?
You shit at it.
Hey.
Along with life.
Well, I try. Why?
And I fail. I'm very good at it.
All right, guys, but actually, before we finish up with this episode, we want to give a shout out to a great podcast that we think you guys should definitely check out.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
What's up, everybody? I am the patron saint of podcasting, the Warden Matt Ritter, the host of the number one wrestling podcast on Pornhub. Yes, you heard that right. And I'm here to tell you about the number one wrestling podcast on Pornhub, the Smackin' Raw podcast. Me and my co-host, Vince Delgado, and Miss Katie Kinsey Bebe of the She Leads Showcase do a weekly recap where we cover Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Dynamite, and Rampage. We are on Pornhub, YouTube, and every audio platform you could think of, and we are spitting what we don't like and swallowing what we do every week. We've also got guests from some of your favorite podcasts. So if you want to have fun, take your pants off, put in your headphones, pull up to your favorite listening or viewing device, relax and just have a good time, catch up on the week in wrestling in our own unique way, come check us out. You guys can find me at Matt Ritter, that is at MattRidder, on Twitter only. There you will get Linktree/SmackinRaw. That'll get you all of the audio platforms as well as Pornhub. You guys can also check out Linktree/CreationWorld, and that will get you the YouTube, the merchandise, and the Pornhub, as well as other great podcasts from Creation World, which is the banner under which the Smackin' Raw podcast exists. If you want to get everything in one shot, go to creationworld.com. There you'll find Super Flash Hero of Tomorrow if you're a fan of DC CW superhero stuff. If you want to check out the Smackin' Raw podcast, if you want to check out our other show, Return to Wrestling, where me and my co-host Travis go back in time and he forces me to sit down and watch old WCW Nitros and pay-per-views, and I have to suffer through Hulk Hogan repeatedly. If that sounds like something that you think is fun, come check that out as well. We also have a YouTube-only show hosted by Vince called Spitter Swallow that you can find on our YouTube. We've got so much content for you. Dungeons After Dark as well. That episode 2 is coming. It is our most viewed episode on Pornhub. So if any of this sounds appealing to you, I can't wait to have you guys come follow us, listen to us, and interact with all of you. Like I said, take your pants off, pull up, get comfortable, and let's have a good time.
Well, guys, you know what time it is. Alan's left the room, so I have to give a bit of a readout of our sponsors and affiliates. So Rogue Energy is a premium energy and focus supplement designed to optimize your mental and physical performance. And if you check out rogueenergy.com and use our promo code 2702 at checkout, you will get 10% off products. Next one I want to talk about is Luxie. So Luxie can enhance your performance with their analog grips. These grips can be used on your PlayStation, your Xbox, and your Nintendo Switch. And if you visit Luxie.com and use the promo code BRO247, that's BRO247, you get a total of 15% off products. Up next is Triumph Chairs. So Triumph Chairs is a gaming chair company specializing in comfort and performance. Visit TriumphChairs.com and use the promo code BRO247 on checkout to get 10% off products. Up next is Clinch Gaming. Clinch Gaming manufactures custom professional gaming controllers that you can use on your Xbox and your PlayStation, and use our promo code BRO247 on checkout to get 5% off products. Up next is Player One Coffee. So Player One Coffee develop coffee recipes custom tailored to gamers, creative developers, and just about anyone who really enjoys a cup of coffee. And lucky last is victoriouseyewear.com. So Victorious Eyewear developed blue white blocking gaming glasses designed to eliminate digital eye strain and help you maintain comfortable and focused. Visiting victoriouseyewear.com and use the promo code BRO247 at checkout gets you 10% off. So again, shout out there to Victorious Eyewear, Player One Coffee, Clinch Gaming, Triumph Chairs, Luxie.com, and Rogue Energy. All right, guys, we are back, and we're at the tail end of what has been a great episode, episode number 63 and Wrestling Companion number 41. Any closing comments, Al, before we finish up this episode?
What a great show this was tonight, guys. Thanks very much for everyone to downloading this and coming together, and hopefully we're being that sort of distraction yet again during this COVID-19 madness. Good luck. Thanks very much to Tom yet again for organizing this and getting this all done and throwing this all up on the, on our socials. Good show, and looking forward to our next episode.
So, guys, we're looking at doing another show possibly on May 30th with a release date of May 31 here in Australia. Check out our Twitter directly at The Brocast, THEBROKAST, for the announcement of that show. I'll also shout out there to Rogue Energy. Give yourself some great promotional stuff there, from your shaker cups to your range of different flavors they've got, haven't they? A grape and watermelon and a range of different things there. Check them out at rogueenergy.com and also Rogue Energy on Twitter. And also a shout out there to Luxty with your grips, for your gaming grips, for your controllers for PlayStation 4, Xbox and Switch. Get yourself a 15% discount using the promotional code BRO247 at Luxty Grips. That's LAXEDY.com. And as we say each and every episode, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or
good night.
Yeah, guys, thanks for sticking around. Now we're going to go back and listen to a classic TBK moment.
I got made fun of the other day because of my back hair at work.
How much? You got a bit, though.
Yeah, I've got a lot.
Or your top off at work, but...
No. What? Okay, I just want to clarify, I work at a school. I'm an A. What do you think, kids? No, we had a swimming class, and I actually had to have a singlet top on, and someone told me it's like an Navajo rug on my back.
Oh, come
on. Afghani wani wani.
Come on.
You know? You could part the hairs.
Thanks. Just that.
70s bush.
Oh, just comb it through. It's all tangled. All right.
I found it.
Two combs. Just go two combs.
I'd be like in a seizure moment going, you know, when you scratch your dogs behind the ear? Yeah, that'd be me.